Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Kyle, and I got Brett with me today. It's us, the regulars. We weren't able to get a special guest, but hopefully next week we'll be able to have at least one, maybe two, hopefully. But yeah, for this episode, I actually wanted to start it off with a listener question. We haven't done this before, huh?
No, I think this is the first one.
So it's been 3 years, and this is our first listener question. So I got a question sent to me earlier this week from Brittany Harada. Shout out to Brittany. And it was regarding this week's reading. In our scripture reading this week, we were beginning Advent, so we were starting off with the book of Luke. And this question is regarding that. So I'll just read the question, and then we can start a discussion on Brittany's question. So this is how it goes. In the reading for this week, the angel Gabriel goes to both Zechariah and Mary, telling them what's going to happen, both of which are impossible to believe in their respective situations. Both Zechariah and Mary question Gabriel, but Zechariah gets punished and Mary gets an explanation. Why is that? So I know Brett did a little bit of research on this. So Brett, you want to kick us off?
Well, Brittany and I both did the reading, and she said, I have a question. And I said, okay. So she asked me the question, and I told her, I don't know. I said, you could look up a Bible commentary on it. And she said, yeah, maybe I will, but I think I'm just going to text Damon. So then I was like, okay, I'll look up something.
The commentary of Damon?
Yeah.
All right.
So I was like, okay, I guess I'll look up something just because, yeah, it is a interesting point, and I thought it was a good question. So when I looked it up, I looked over two commentaries. One was an older one. One was kind of a study guide for it. It was on Blue Letter Bible. And the main difference is Zechariah has, or the commentaries say that his response was more of unbelief. And Mary's was still a reaction to something that is impossible, but it was more of a asking to understand because she knew like the Messiah was going to come to a virgin. She knew that it was possible per se what the angel was saying, but it was more like a how is this going to happen so I can follow through with instruction pretty much. And so in Zechariah's case, one of the commentaries was saying is about unbelief, and it could have been because he's older, because he understands the situation that they're in, just like the likelihood or the odds of it. And then the other Bible study said maybe even though that was a prayer request he had because they were much later in their years, like it might not have been something recently that they were searching for, but it was like something that they had wished for in their hearts, and they had disappointment or kind of like baggage that they'd carried with them. And now that they're older, it's not like, oh, that was still their request at that moment. And so when it was brought up back up to them, it was kind of like, that's kind of been over and done with. Like it's too late kind of. And so that level of unbelief resulted in his punishment, which was he wasn't able to speak and let anybody else know. And some of the commentaries go into the reasonings of why that might be too, but yeah, there's a bunch of high level thinking stuff.
Go ahead, Damon.
That was the short version of the stuff that I researched.
So I didn't do any research, and I was actually caught off guard when Brittany asked me the question, but I thought, oh, this is actually a really good question. So I just sat with it and I thought about it, and some of the things that I responded with was with Zechariah, one of the things was I wanted to do was look at actually what he said. Mm-hmm. And so in verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. So when I look, when I think of that question, it says, how can I be sure of this? Right. And so I'm not 100% sure that his question was a doubt question, at least from reading the, from myself reading the text, but it's like, how can I be sure that what you're saying is true? And so when I hear that, and then the next thing that the angel says is, well, you're going to be silent. You can't talk anymore. It's like, oh, well, what if that's actually the answer to his question? Like, how can I know that this is true? Well, you can't talk anymore. Oh, well, that then now I know it's true because I can't verbally say anything. So in that sense, part of it, you know, when people read this verse, especially in light of what the angel says, because he does go on to say, now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time, right? So there is that aspect of the angel saying that. But I think part of it too is thinking of, do we have a correct understanding of punishment, right? So in this sense, it's like, oh, his silence is his punishment. But what if the silence was actually just the answer to his prayer? Because he said, how am I going to know that what you're saying is true? Well, this is actually a sign that what I'm saying is true. So that was one of the areas that I thought about. And Kyle kind of, not confirmed it, but he had an interesting take that was kind of similar too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, there's a question there. So I think there is some, there's a level of doubt, but it's not the level of, no, this isn't going to happen. He's not telling the angel, no, this is not going to happen. It's impossible. But he's asking, how do I know? So there is a level of doubt that his faith hasn't caught up to. But yeah, the I don't know where it was. I don't know if it was in my study Bible or something. Just like a few days ago, I read, shows how old I'm getting. I can't remember, like a couple of days ago, where I read this.
I thought you were going to say, it shows you how old you are. You have a physical Bible.
Yeah, well, that too. But they said, well, okay, kind of in line with what we've been talking about with God's character, like his goodness can have like the warm, fuzzy part and then the part that's more challenging, but it's still God's goodness. So what if his not speaking was actually a blessing, not a punishment? Because then he had 9 months of wrestling inside without being able to communicate, without being able, he had to wrestle with what God was preparing him for and who that child was going to be. So what if there's an aspect of it that it's God in his goodness or his kindness or something like that, that's actually not a punishment, but it's not a pleasant thing to go through, but it was actually something good for him. And that he actually, by the end of the time, he actually maybe not enjoyed it, but he actually was able to fully embrace being the father of Jesus.
Jesus.
No, Jesus is
cousin.
I know, but he prepared the way. I'm like
the forerunner.
Jesus. That's the word I was looking for. I know. That's right. I know. I got stuck like, on Jesus. Yeah. And I'm like
the father of Jesus. Jesus. Kyle,
is,
what?
I know. I'm like when you have the Jesus is. Okay. I don't know, Brett. What about you?
People are gonna call us for heresy out here.
I can see that perspective. I think it's tricky. Based off of the words being used in terms of punishment or blessing or whatever, because yeah, maybe from God's eyes, it might be a blessing in terms of it's preparing him. But to me, it's more like, I guess it's just how you characterize it, because mm-hmm. not being able to talk for 9 months, I don't see how you would equate that to the blessing or it being true, because the angel is saying, because of your unbelief, kind of this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, obviously God knows best. I think there's a part of it in me that relates to like having like a fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. In one of the study guides, it also says like Zachariah's question and his focus was more on the circumstance rather than the focus on the angel of God right in front of him. Mm-hmm. Whereas Mary was still focused on even though she did have a question, she was still focused on the miracle and what the angel was talking about rather than just the circumstance. And so like the posture of her heart, they described, was different than Zachariah's.
Sure.
And so I think it's just, well, okay. I understand where you guys are coming from. I think it could be difficult for a listener to reconcile that, oh, this is actually a blessing from the Lord, rather than, I think, kind of the perspective of like, God can still use things for good, because it did say that Zechariah and his wife were righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so it's more like, even when bad things happen to good people, God can still use it for his good.
Well, I mean, if you take that farther too, like, if they were that righteous, I mean, they were chosen for a reason, mm-hmm. that they found favor, really. And so if they were that righteous, and maybe God held them to a higher standard, because it's like, dude, you know me.
Yeah.
So they didn't, it's not that it was that significant or that much, that bad of a doubt, but it's like, I expect more of you. But to me, I think I just have trouble with the word punishment. Because I think there's a consequence for him asking the question and not having enough faith. But I think, like Damon said, it's a sign for sure. Like, you wanted to know, okay, well, this isn't the easy way, but now you're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. I think that plays into the notion that a lot of people have of God is this punisher. And I don't know that it's a punishment as much as a consequence, but those consequences can still have healthy or even good outcomes. It might not be pleasant or the way we desired it to be, but
mm-hmm.
I think that's it for me. It's just more of like, is there a different perspective mm-hmm. on it? Because really then if it was a punishment, then it could be like, okay, we're going to choose somebody else then to be the person that's going to bring this about, which obviously would be hard because it's supposed to be from the line of Jesus and these different things. But that, to me, that would be a punishment of, I think that happens with the Lord, where there's opportunities for us. Like, okay, God wants us to step into this role, step into this thing. And we say no, or we wait, or we drag our feet. And it's like, okay, well then I'm going to go to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's almost like a punishment, because like, oh, you missed out on that. And yet, you know, still in God's goodness, it's not like it's a punishment of wrath. It's just like you missed out on what was available to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, I it might be focusing too much on like the punishment aspect, but there's a level of, I guess, grace involved, because I guess he still got to have a child, which they wanted. I think it's tricky when to try to gauge somebody's like level of faith. I think that's the hard part, because the angel does say that he has unbelief. So it's like, to what degree is that compared to the interaction that Mary has? There's not like a ton of back and forth. So sure. You don't know, and we don't know in her heart or her mind, like where it is. All of the things is just kind of speculation or trying to gather from context clues,
yeah.
and things going on. But I do agree that him being like a priest, and I do think there's a level of being held to a higher standard. And so it's like, this shouldn't be as unfamiliar to you. Mm-hmm. And so even to one of the older commentaries, which was hard to read and understand, was even saying like, when the angel came, like why they were questioning why he was in fear of it. Because they went into this whole thing about like evil angels and all of this, and saying for him to be someone that like is used to being in doing the different responsibilities that he has, that seeing an angel or something like that would be something that he already knows of, or he's I don't want to say familiar with, but for lack of better terms for me, familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so then when the angel comes and it scares him and he's not sure and he's asking, how can I be sure of this? There's like, they just question, is there mistrust of the angel until the angel says, no, like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, at that point, he's already shown like his faith or his belief to the angel. So then the angel says, because you didn't believe, then this is what's going to happen. And so I don't know if it's a unbelief of, like, at that point, I guess the where I'm wrestling with his unbelief is it more of like that they can actually have a child? Mm-hmm. Or, because if when you're asking how can I be sure of this, it's hard to gauge if he is convinced, like, okay, this is going to happen, but I don't know how because we're older, or like a belief of, okay, you can't be saying this because you know our circumstance of how, like, you know, there's like a slight difference of like, okay, I still believe this is going to happen, but like how? Because we're like super old versus like, no, that's impossible because we're old, right? There's like a different,
right.
It's like a slight tone of where that belief might be, right?
And which is similar to Mary's. Like, it's like, how could this be? Versus like, no, this can't be, mm-hmm. right? It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's slight, but it definitely is different.
So, because then based off of that tone or like perspective that we feel like he has, to me then changes like the amount of unbelief he has, because one is more similar to Mary's versus the other one is more like, nah.
As you're talking, a lot of stuff came to my
mind. No, I got something too, but go ahead.
But kind of as you were talking, I was looking back at the passage, and the angel actually says quite a bit before Zechariah responds. Yeah. Right? So he tells him, you're going to have a baby, but then he also tells him who the baby's going to be.
He describes him.
So mm-hmm. he describes like who John is going to be and what John is going to do. So part of it could be which aspects of the unbelief is there? Is it in the baby, which could be, it could also be in like, I'm old, my wife's old, how are we going to be able to raise this child to be able to do the things that you say he's going to do? Because we're not young anymore. And it seems like he's going to be a pretty awesome person. Are we able to raise him in that way too? And so it's like there's multiple layers, kind of like you were talking about, Brett. There's multiple layers in what that could be, where that unbelief or that doubt is. It's like, yeah, they're old, so can we do this? We haven't had a child yet. Are we able to do this? But then also, like, we're old. Am I going to be able? You know, sometimes when people are older and they talk about, oh, I'm going to have a kid, it's like, how am I going to be able to play with this kid? How am I going to be able to do these things, right? And this is saying he's going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. Can we raise our son to be that? There's an aspect of mm-hmm. that too, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this, I just thought of like more of like a hypothetical, because there is a lot of gaps. There's not a mm-hmm. lot of details in this. Mm-hmm. But because John was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, did God plan to have it be significant where people knew that he was special, that there was something significant about this pregnancy? So this is just total hypothetical. I'm not saying this is right, but what if he didn't doubt and then there was some other sign? It was something else. So he doubted, and so then, okay, you're not going to speak, but God intended either way that there was going to be some significant sign for the other people to know, like, oh, this pregnancy, there's something supernatural or significant about John and this pregnancy. Not that that plays totally into the his consequence or punishment, mm-hmm. but we don't know. Like, maybe God was going to do a different type of sign that would have been, that we would have thought, oh, that's a blessing that he got to have that. You know, he had a gold ring, you know, halo around his head that just mysteriously was there for 9 months, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, there's a lot. it just raises a lot of questions that there's a lot of gaps in there. Like, and like what you just shared too, Damon, that there's a lot of other types of things. I think for me, it's hard when people use the word punishment with God, because I think it tends to take people to a more negative place.
Definitely.
There's baggage with it.
Yeah, and I think what we view as punishment isn't always really punishment in God's eye. It comes from a different place.
It's more like discipline.
It is. That's consequence, discipline, but there's a purpose for it, mm-hmm. and it's not necessarily bad, because if it wasn't there, then you might do something that's even further off track.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, from more research, because this is just extra stuff, but like going to like, what if there was something else? One of the commentaries was saying, well, one, by him not being able to speak, it did tell the rest of the people like, oh, he must have got a vision or something. Mm-hmm. I think it says that in the Bible. Yeah. But then it also says like, what if like it kept him from like bragging? Right, especially knowing who the child was going to be, like it kept him from kind of interfering in that way, or saying like, or even sharing things he's not supposed to be sharing.
Right.
Because if you know like this awesome thing is going to happen, I could see how it would be hard to not want to be like, let everybody know I'm going to my son's going to he's going straight to the NBA, he's number one pick, you know, all of that stuff. So they're like, that could have been a thing. And then also there was one that was talking about like with his wife, because it says that she like hid away for 5 months or something like that.
Yeah.
Like for the both of them, there was a question or thought brought up about in his situation, not being able to speak and whatnot is preparing him in a certain way, and then for her to being prepared a certain way for when they have the child. So that was like additional kind of insight that some of the research had said could be why also that specific consequence, so to say, or fallout from that.
Yeah, but I think for me too, it points out, Brittany, you did a good job of noticing that there's two very similar types of things in the passage that seem to be almost contradictory, or there's just an unknown difference of why God's response was not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's good to wrestle with those. And I'm glad, Brittany, I'm glad you wrote that in, that we could talk about it, because I think people have similar thoughts like that and throughout the Bible, where why in this way did God respond this way, and on this situation he did it differently. And some of it we have to chalk up to, I don't know, we don't have enough details, there's not enough clarity, but we still can like look back at God's character and just point to like, well, it doesn't totally contradict aspects of his character either, but it just leaves us with more questions sometimes.
Do we want to dive into Mary a little bit, or are we good?
If you have something, it's fine.
Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about with Mary in terms of, you know, the question was, why does Zechariah get a punishment and Mary gets an explanation? Mm-hmm. Is the inherent, I guess, punishment that Mary will get by being a pregnant virgin or a pregnant unmarried woman and the shame that she's going to carry within the society? So I think in her situation, part of it could be, why would the Lord double punish her in that sense, right? Like give her a consequence and then also the other consequence that's going to come because she's pregnant and not married yet.
Good point.
Well, so I think too, because of that, there's one of the differences between the two situations is, you know, Mary's actually going to be the one carrying the baby, where Zechariah, it's not him actually carrying it, it's his wife carrying it, right? So there's a different perspective because of the gender difference, right? And so for Zechariah, it's like, how am I going to know? Like, I'm not going to feel the effects of carrying a baby. I'm not going to be the one. How am I going to know that what you're saying is true? And my wife might not even know for a few months until she starts showing or any of that type of stuff. So how do we know? And that could be part of it too, where Mary will know because she's carrying the baby.
I think it ties in with what Brett said earlier too. We don't know Zechariah too, like what his weaknesses were, or, you know, if he was going to let it, like pride or arrogance or something like that come in, and it was a way to guard him. So, I mean, there's a lot of other types of things that we don't know about.
I would encourage people to that site, Blue Letter Bible.
Yeah, excellent.
Anytime you have questions, and not just to seek an answer, just to get an answer, but it gives so much more insight that just like I would have never known certain things, and it's really easy to just type in a verse or a passage, and you can, there's a bunch of tools. It could be overwhelming, but if you just click on commentaries or you click on the verse, it gives you different insight from different people and that have studied it and background, just different things that help bring more truth, or for you to, I think, have a better grasp or understanding. So like, for example, this question, you know, I had certain guesses, or like, I don't, like she asked me, like, I don't know, maybe this or maybe this, but then to really kind of dive into more of that curiosity, and it just allows you to have a deeper understanding of God's word and who he is. And it's a tool that anybody can use. And so I encourage you, while you're doing the reading plan, or even if you're doing devotionals or Bible studies, use it, because it's helpful.
Yeah, I think it's cool because you don't have to go into the Greek. You don't have to go into mm-hmm. all that stuff, but it's there. And even in the commentaries, they highlight like, well, this word is used and mm-hmm. it gets translated this, but really there's a deeper meaning, or a more full meaning is more like this. And it's like, oh yeah, if I knew that, then I would take this passage differently. Mm-hmm. So just some of those little insights can be really, really eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to, again, give a shout-out to Brittany for asking a good question. And I think, after talking about it, you know, I bet you this is a question that, as we've talked about it, a lot of other people are like, oh, that actually is a good question. I never thought of it that way. Or maybe you were thinking of it, and now you get a little bit more voices to help, you know, discern that passage too.
People send in questions if you do, or text Damon with your questions, and maybe you'll get your question will get highlighted on the podcast.
Yeah.
All right. So this past Sunday, Pastor Barry started a 2-week series on Home for the Holidays, where he's talking about just different relational dynamics. And, you know, sometimes when we go home for the holidays, or when we're around family, there are interesting family dynamics that are in play. So he tried to give some helpful tips on how to handle different personalities than your own. And, you know, it really highlighted some of the things that we've been going through as a church in terms of having healthy relationships. Shout out Mimo for her emotionally healthy relationships class. And I really felt like, as we kind of talk about this a little bit, I don't know how deep we're going to get into it, but just how important it is for us to be emotionally healthy coming into some of these situations, so that we can receive or interact in a healthy way, as opposed to bringing all the baggage with us.
So we can respond instead of react, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was just laughing because everyone has family stuff or can think of.
No, man, your family's good, man.
far from it. No, family is good, but I think it's such an important ongoing learning area of life, because at every stage of life, wherever you're at, dealing with people, there's a chance that things get hard or messy, right, or hurtful or whatever. And so, especially because the holidays is probably a more concentrated amount of time, or a longer amount of time with people who maybe you see often or maybe you hardly see, it can make it more difficult than other times. And so, as much as it can be something to easily want to walk on eggshells around, I do think it's important to discuss and take a look at.
Yeah, I think it's, and Pastor Barry mentioned one of the things is like healthy boundaries. And I think it's hard. We don't want to just be superficial and not have any depth. And it's kind of like the false harmony. Everything's good. And we just kind of put on the face. But yeah, some of those situations, like you said, Brett, like they might not see those people more than once or twice a year, or maybe even every other year. Or it's people we see all the time, and there's just things we've brushed under the carpet, and you know, they need to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's times where the boundaries need to be shifted back and forth. And that's, you know, part of, you know, we had that in Kylo, we've had that in emotional healthy class, that you have to understand how to set good boundaries, but then you have to realize when sometimes the issue is yourself too. Like you're the one that's causing the issues, and you need to like get healing. You need to address certain things. And yeah, it's definitely a messy topic, says Damon, who has a smirk on his face.
I have a couple of things. One thing that stuck with me, Damon, you actually shared with me before is...
I did?
Oh. Yeah. Being...
Ooh, wisdom right here.
Being,
here it comes. Here it comes.
Inoffendable. And I think that put a better title or verbiage to how I view myself rather than just not caring about what other people think of me, because there is a level of care. But when I think about that, it's not just not letting things bother you, but there's an aspect of self-reflection, and when something does bother you, not letting it stick to you, but like being able to see like, well, why does this bother me, or why does this kind of irk me or strike a chord with me? And instead of placing the immediate blame on somebody else, whether it's there in the wrong or not, being able to take a look at why that action or word or whatever does bother you, and kind of get to the root of that rather than it just be like a reaction to the experience that took place. And so I think that is a tool to build up that inoffendable shield where, I know my wife likes to say sometimes to herself, I just got to be Vaseline, because you know, like when you're a boxer, you put Vaseline on so that when people punch you, you still get punched, but it doesn't stick, right? It kind of glides off. And so one way to help increase the Vaseline so things don't stick with you, or you don't take it as personal, or it doesn't bother you as much, it doesn't dictate how you act, is sometimes to reflect on, okay, well, why does that thing actually bother me? Sometimes, unfortunately, things that are said or done are just inherently messed up, or like, dang, that's hurtful. But other times, I think there's a level where just people are different. And so the way one person might talk or joke is actually offensive or hurts or bothers you. And that's just how they are. And they don't actually mean anything by it. Could they have done or said it better? Probably. But how can you reflect on what you can control to that better, set those boundaries, or understand that, okay, this is an area that actually is a struggle or weakness for me. It's not necessarily them, mm-hmm. but it's something that like, oh, it actually hurts because I care about this. And so then being able to recognize and resolve, and like you said, ask for healing or process that part of it could help, so that the next time that person says something or something of that nature comes up, like it won't bother you as much. And then now the interaction or the scenario is a little different.
Yeah, I think that's for me why taking the emotionally healthy relationships class was significant, because some of the tools that they give you are ways to identify or address those things. Mm-hmm. So one of them, one of the weeks that I felt was most impactful for me was you talk about the iceberg and how a lot of us are generally living above the surface when there's a lot of other stuff that's underneath that's impacting our relationships or impacting how we live our life or how we see the world. And we're not super aware of it because it's all under the surface. And so kind of in some of those situations, Brett, it's like this person, what they're doing or what they're saying might bother me, but it's not necessarily them. It's something that happened to me 20 years ago that I haven't resolved or had gotten healing from. And it's rubbing that. So mm-hmm. to give your like boxer analogy, it's like you're getting punched in an open wound, mm-hmm. as opposed to getting that healing and then you're getting punched and the Vaseline helps to take it, you know, glances, take it away.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's one of the things in that class is asking the Lord, are there things that I haven't let go of? Are there things that I haven't forgiven? Are there things that I haven't gotten healing from that are affecting my relationship with this person? And it could be, it could actually be something with that person mm-hmm. from a long time ago that you kind of just shoved down or didn't address. And so there is some baggage there already. And so I felt like that one was really significant for me. And I thought there was another one where we talk about values mm-hmm. and how strong mm-hmm. our values are
yeah.
and how sometimes when we have conflict or it feels like people are rubbing us wrong, it's really, they're rubbing up against a certain value that we hold and how we need to recognize what that value is so that we can have that discussion about how those interactions are actually rubbing up against the value and not necessarily just, I don't like that person or I don't like the way that they're doing it. It's really just rubbing up against something that we hold to value.
Okay. How do I go in this direction? I think, I'm going to share some personal family stuff, but I'm trying to see how to frame it. I think for me, I'm in a family situation right now, parents and siblings involved, that I'm seeing growth and maturity in myself that I'm handling it differently.
Mm.
And partly I want to share it because I think I want our listeners to hear that for me, I value my relationship with my parents, my siblings, and I don't want to just put in minimal effort or whatever. I want it to be good. So there's a situation that came up and it was significant. And I think in the past, so it kind of exploded. We kind of dealt with certain aspects of it. And then it got better on some level. Mm. And it almost got back to like quote unquote normal. And I think in the past it was really easy for me to just be like, okay, that's good enough. I don't want to go there because it's uncomfortable. I'll just trust that it'll be good enough and it'll work itself out. And if it comes up again, then we'll just kind of deal with it then, but it won't be as bad as this time.
Mm.
And then, you know, patterns happen or, you know, it might be months or years later, but it's like a similar type of thing. It's like, oh, I thought we dealt with that. But really, I look back and I'm like, well, I didn't really deal with it. I kind of just shoved it under, like basically hoping for the best. Whereas this time I'm doing it differently and I'm like, oh, okay, do I need to bring it up? Do I need to go do this again?
Mm.
I probably do. I don't really want to. Okay, so, or I don't have space to do it. So I had that kind of last week. I'm like, I just don't have space. I know I need to go kind of get in the stuff again. But I did it this week, and I'm like, okay, after I was done, I was like, yeah, I'm on the right track. I need to do this. I need to put the effort in for the relationships I value. And to me, I'm seeing like, oh, this is different. I'm doing it different than I have in the past. So I'm seeing maturity and I'm like, okay, where did it come from? I think some of it is just like the class, like some of those types of things, having awareness, having a sense of responsibility. Like, okay, if all of us in the family just kind of throw our hands up and are like, well, I don't know, somebody else will probably deal with it. I'm like, well, if I have to be the one to initiate and deal with it, then if I'm the only one either recognizing it or willing to do it, then so be it. Then that's my role right now.
Mm.
But I think in the past I've deferred and I've done different things. And then, I see the negative part of it. And I'm like, okay, it's not worth it anymore. I want better and I want a different outcome.
Mm.
And so the whole home for the holidays, emotional, healthy stuff, it's like, it's not easy. And it's not stuff I look forward to, but I'm like, I'm looking forward to more of the outcome and the shift that will be more sustainable, longer term. And I'm like, oh, I'm already seeing some of that. And I'm like, okay, this is worth it, even though I want to just I want to just give up and go back to my old pattern.
Mm. Right? I really like that because shout out to the youth leaders and FXM, Forged and Magnetic, because in our series on identity that we've been going through, part of it during this time were the holidays and the big focus, I would say, this end of the year for the past month and a half or so is it's one to know our identity, but then how do we live from it? Mm. And so we talked about situations where, like, are we letting other people or things that are said or experiences dictate like who we are in our identity, or are we letting our identity and who God calls us to be or says that we are then influence the situation around us? And so I think similar to your situation in some of your maturity or just stepping into more of what God is calling you to and who he's calling you to be, you know, there's areas that there is shifting or things are starting to change, or it can hopefully flourish where we've had good discussions and lessons on God wants us to live from that place. And when you're living from that place, like that's when we're in alignment, and I think God can really shift and move things. Not saying that he can't otherwise, but then we're not being dictated by the names that were said or situations that took place. And so I think it falls in line with where the church is at and their congregation is of dealing with relationships and whatnot, because I think those sometimes are the easiest areas that can throw us off from living from our identity and who God calls us to be.
Yeah, as you're talking, Brett, it makes me think about kind of some of the themes for next year and things that we're talking about at the staff level. Is it feels like next year we're going to be talking about wholehearted surrender and living in the light, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we're supposed to release that yet, but okay. Our listeners get a free preview, so...
Sneak peek.
Sneak peek.
Okay, well, that's the tentative stuff that we've been talking about a little bit. But, you know, in terms of, like, some of these relational things, and some, it's hard to wholeheartedly surrender to the Lord when we're holding tightly to some of these hurts or pains
for
or
sure.
Not able to forgive people. So... And some of that gets highlighted around these times with the holidays, right? Mm-hmm. It's just being around people that we haven't seen in a long time, or, you know, people that there could be baggage. It's highlighted. So maybe that's something that we can think about during this holiday season, is as those things get highlighted, you know, seek the Lord and ask him what's being highlighted in this situation that I need to let go of, or I need to trust you with, or I need to forgive this person. Because in order for us to go where we feel like we're going as a church and being able to wholeheartedly surrender to the Lord, we can't be holding on to some of these things to be able to do both, right? Then we're only surrendering part, right? It reminds me of Pastor Timothy in the cleansing seminar. He talks about that. I think it's in the consecration section, and he talks about how the song goes, "I surrender all."
Oh yeah.
And then, so he starts singing it, but he starts singing, "I surrender some," right? He goes, so he's like, that's not how the song is supposed to go. I surrender some. But for a lot of us, that's where we're at, because we want to hold on tightly to some of these hurts or pains or other things. And really, the Lord might be highlighting it during this season because he wants us to trust him with it, and he wants us to give it to him.
That gets on a whole nother topic of forgiveness. Oh, boy. No, I agree. That's... Really, God has more for us that sometimes we were held back from because of those types of things that we either aren't willing to, we don't recognize it sometimes, or we're not willing to go there, or just there's various things.
That relates to this video I saw where someone was sharing some of their testimony, and they said they kept praying for God to take these things that they were struggling with away. And they said, yeah, I just kept praying, like, God, just take this away. God, just take this away. God, take this away. And then he said, like, it wasn't until he was able to give it up in terms of, like, letting go of it and giving it to God is when things change. Instead of expecting God to just come in and take it away, it's like, well, we have to have that wholehearted surrender and be willing to actually give it up. And then in a kind of silly way, it allows God in certain ways to work, which allows us to be open to the ways that he wants to move and work in our life.
Yeah, I mean, in that situation too, he does sometimes miraculously come in and just, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But those are more of the exception than the rule. A lot of times there's a heart issue, and he needs you to recognize that and, like, break that, whatever that hold is, and then he'll be able to deal with it.
Amen.
Well, I think sometimes when it comes to relationships too, there needs to be that aspect.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because even a well-intended, like, well, I just care about this relationship, so that's why I do this, 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 and this. It's like, that's good. It's well-intended, but certain relationships, like, are you laying those relationships down before the Lord? Mm-hmm. If he asks you to be the bigger person and give grace to that person, even when it's like, well, that's not fair, that's not right. If I don't tell them, how are they going to learn? It's like, okay, is God calling you to play that role or do that job? Or is it, oh, God is calling me to speak up, I need to say something. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I care too much about a relationship, it's going to change things. Are you willing to give it up and be obedient to what he's calling you to do or how he wants you to be? Because maybe there it will change, but it'll change for the good.
Or another variable in that is the timing. It's like, oh, maybe he's wanting you to do it, but not yet. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not time for that yet because that person's not ready to receive it. Or, yeah, it is time, but you're not stepping into it. So I think a timing thing is hard because we're not always clear on it, but I think that's where you have to seek the Lord and get clarity.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so important that people take Pastor Barry's class, right? Mm-hmm. And just being able to have some more tools to be able to hear the Lord and seek him and understand when his timing is or what we're supposed to do. Because I think a lot of times, you know, if we are not hearing from the Lord, then we're just doing it out of our own will. And a lot of times that's when we get in trouble, right? And so I think it is important for us. So if you haven't taken Pastor Barry's class yet, another shout out. I guess we're just giving a lot of shout outs to classes today. But the reason that we have these classes is because they're important and they're helpful, right? And so they help us to grow. They help us to hear the Lord better. They help us to clear up some of the baggage that we have and we're carrying so that we can be healthy and we can hear the Lord clearly and we can impact the world in a greater way because we're not just constantly carrying all this extra baggage around.
Amen.
Yeah, we all need help. So reach out for somebody that you can ask questions about and get some like one-on-one type things, take the classes, but really it's just about pursuing your own spiritual growth and your maturity. It's not just going to plop in your lap. I mean, there's aspects you can do on your own, but really it's the whole biblical narrative. It's we're meant to be in relationship with God first, but then relationship with each other. And that's really where we can glean from each other and spur each other on.
Last ramble I'll say about this whole
that was dealing, my last one, so I'm done
dealing with people and whatnot. Because I've had to do this, and then being married, do it with Brittany as well. Is sometimes you also need to like think of a game plan beforehand. Yeah. Like pray about it and think about it beforehand. If you know there's a situation, or when I go to this Christmas party and there's 30 people there, I know it's going to be hard for me, or if these certain people are there, it's difficult for me to talk to them about this. Or, you know, even for us with having miscarried, before we went into situations, it's like, I would ask, like, are you going to be okay if they ask or something, you know, like just so that you're not caught off guard. And then you're left to just trying to respond in a tough situation when you're caught off guard and you don't want to react, but like, it's almost like habit or just natural reaction, you know, to pray about it and talk about it beforehand, and even seek the help beforehand rather than like afterwards or like, oh shoot, this happened. Now what do you think I should do?
Try to put out fires after.
Yeah. Or just saying like, you know, I struggle with this or I deal with this. Yeah. What's one way that I could try to better love this person, or I can better set a healthy boundary? Like come up with a loose game plan, not something that you're going to hold on too tightly where if it doesn't go that exact way, but just so that you have some frame of like sanity going into it and something that you can kind of fall back to if you need, or just explicitly sharing certain boundaries so that like, I mean, for Brittany and I, there's certain times where it's like me being anxious or dealing with certain things, just explicitly telling, hey, there's certain times where I might need to step out, or I don't know if I can stay the whole time. Like I do want to go, you know, like just talking those things out so that we're on the same page. There's a game plan. There's a general understanding so that it just creates more peace and the burden doesn't feel as heavy going into a situation where then you're more free to respond and feel like, oh, okay, I can be okay in certain capacities. And so I don't know all the situation and dynamics going on, but I do feel like having some sort of game plan can be helpful in at least setting an expectation for yourself and understanding what you might, if you already know preemptively what you're kind of getting into or where you might be triggered or have a harder time.
I like that because it's like self-awareness, mm-hmm. situational awareness, and like seeing patterns and all those kind of things. It's like we can see them and not do anything about them, or we can see them and then like, hey, there's an opportunity where I can make a shift here. So no, I like that. It's good wisdom, Brett.
And it allows you to ask God to come into it earlier.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I remember school, family stuff, in-laws, holidays. Every time in my car before I went somewhere, my prayer would be, okay, God, you know how I'm feeling, whether it's anxious or like, oh, I don't really want to go, or I'm having a hard time, or I know this is going to be difficult for me. And so take those feelings away and allow me to see the people that I come in contact with the way that you want me to see it. Let me be open and hear like where they're at and see them where they're at. And so just like, I think that's one way you can invite the Lord into your process beforehand. And I think it goes a long way.
And I think that's a great way to wrap up this episode. Mm-hmm. So thanks again for listening to Engage to Flourish. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.